What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies. Feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
We played audio from Shad Khan, or at least we referenced it. I don't remember if it actually made it on air. Shad Khan was sitting next to Trent Baalke, and he said that, hey, if someone can come in here and convince me that Trent Baalke isn't the guy here, and they have a different candidate, when along with them being the head coach, they have a different candidate for general manager, I'm open to making a move. Well, Liam Cohen has decided not to go forward trying to make that argument, I guess, because Liam Cohen, the former Rams OC, former Kentucky OC, he was in Tampa Bay most recently. He has pulled out of that particular job opening. He no longer will try for that job. So the Jags lost out on Ben Johnson. There were reports earlier this offseason that, at least the offseason for the Jags, that Ben Johnson looked at them as a real spot for him to land. We know he's a Bear now, and the Jags are still looking. So Trent Baalke, a guy who a lot of people think has ruined any progress that team could make, is still there, and they've made a detour on their coaching search. Can you guess, Sean? Have you seen the report? Can you guess where the Jags are going next?
Mike McCarthy?
Robert Saleh.
Oh,
Robert okay. Saleh is flying down okay. to Jacksonville to talk to the Jags about that job.
I guess it's one of 32 for old Rob.
And he's not exactly operating from a position of strength.
I would just want to be a
take a break
DC or take a break. I don't know. But I mean, the Jags, it's not exactly like the microscope of being the Jets coach. It's a little different. They let Doug Peterson rock it out for the whole year after everyone had fired him in October. So, man, I guess this is what happens when you are on your third choice. I assume.
Who knows how far down the line they are.
Ben Johnson, Liam Cohen, I imagine we're 1-2. Realistic one.
Feels like it.
Because I don't remember ever hearing Aaron Glenn talking to him. Maybe Brian Flores. They weren't getting Vrabel.
No, he was slated to be the Patriots coach.
I don't know if they talked to Kellen Moore or Deion Sanders or all the Cowboys ones.
You know, Brian Schottenheimer. Yeah, who is a real candidate for that job.
I don't know if they've talked to him yet.
Well, they will talk to
all the hot names that Dallas is talking about.
All the guys in Jerry's sphere.
Jason Witten. I don't know if the Jags have talked to Jason Witten yet.
I haven't seen that anywhere.
I should.
I haven't seen anyone.
Pick his brain.
I haven't seen anyone talking to Jason Witten besides the Cowboys.
That's weird. That's weird that happened.
No, it's not that weird. Feels like right on brand. So, Trent Baalke decides on Robert Saleh. You know who was in San Francisco at one point? Trent Baalke. You know another guy who was in San Francisco at one point? Robert Saleh.
It is important to note that they're there at different times.
As we talked about, sometimes you just hire people who you have some relationship with, In this case, hey, we were both a part of the same organization. And Robert Saleh was there. He got there the year after Trent Baalke left.
Yeah, but, I was going to say he was a Shanahan guy, and Shanahan was like, he was the guy who was like, get Baalke out of here.
Yeah, he won that one.
Jim Harbaugh lost it.
Yes.
They let him hire, was it Tom Sula and Chip Kelly before firing him?
Once you do that.
One year each on those guys.
Once you do that, you cannot win another one of these power struggles once you hire those two guys.
And watch me, pointing at Shad Khan.
Well, you can't win it in the same organization. Oh,
okay. Yeah. Watch me.
Yeah. Once you hire Tom Sula and Chip Kelly, the San Francisco, the 49ers are done.
Leaning
into Baalke. He doesn't love him that much. He's like, if someone can come in here and convince me, I'll get rid of him.
And no one has.
Wow.
Doesn't seem like it's that hard of a.
Yeah, I don't know if Liam Cullen has that type of stroke. Like, he can come in there, never been a head coach anywhere on any level, and go say, hey, get rid of Baalke.
But then why don't any of the good candidates want to talk to him?
That's the disconnect for Shad Khan.
Okay.
He does a pretty good job being the overseer of a mid-table Premier League club.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful job.
He's done a pretty good job with Fulham, making them a
solid
into the Premier League club. The Jags.
It's a little harder.
Not so great.
A little harder.
Not so great. And it's funny because in the NFL, parity you would think would make it easier. Like in the Premier League, as long as he's not competing on the level of Man City and Arsenal as far as spending cash, but he has, I guess, entrusted his son Tony to make the right hires. Maybe Tony should get involved in this. I know he's running the wrestling and he's doing Fulham stuff. Maybe Tony Khan should get involved in this and save the Jags. Not that it's beneficial for us here, but now Robert Saleh. And Robert Saleh, he used to be a linebackers coach in Jacksonville. So there's always a connection.
There we go.
Bring a guy back who you know and see if that's the right guy for the job. And there we are. Some people had some hope. Anytime some guy with the name gets fired, like Texans fans are like, you know who DeMeco should hire to be his DC? Although we still know DeMeco calls plays. Bring Robert Saleh in. Well, Robert Saleh apparently has higher aspirations than being the guy who is called DC in name only while DeMeco calls the plays. Or maybe DeMeco would have handed it over to Robert Saleh and became more of a CEO if Saleh would have agreed, which is what was the dream hiring for some people. But nope, not the case right now. I would not be surprised if they're exhausted by everyone telling them no. And Saleh would be like, yes, I'd love to coach here. And they're like, all right, you're our guy. Would not be surprised if that's how that goes down. Path of least resistance for the Jags. We keep Trent Baalke, who Saleh, another guy who doesn't have the stroke to convince Khan to get rid of Baalke. But I'm sure Balky's like, get Saleh. He's desperate. Maybe. I don't know. But feels like he might be desperate. He's not going to cause problems. He's just happy to have a job. He dealt with Aaron Rodgers. Trevor Lawrence will seem like a dream, at least as far as personality is concerned. He'll be happy to be here. So Baalke remains, and Saleh gets a job. Which I think is good for Texans fans.
Yeah, I was going to say, everyone wins.
Except for the Jags, but we don't care if they win or not.
Oh, well.
Imagine that. Keeping a guy that no one in the league has a high opinion of is hurting your hiring process.
Because they don't know him like I do.
Sometimes you like the devil you know more than the devil you don't. Apparently, Shad Khan loves this version of the devil. Although he's had no success with him.
Yeah, but once you get to know him.
Great guy, right? I will take good
football?
Evaluator of talent, good free agent signing.
Yeah.
Over good All free right. agent signings over good guy.
Enough of these wacky ideas.
Of being good at the job of building a football team?
Who's the GM you most want to have a beer with? Trent Baalke.
Is that even true?
I don't know.
From what we know, people don't like him. I don't think that's true either.
You know what? Good point. Yeah. Good counterpoint.
He has none of the qualities of that. Like, he's not good at what he does, and people don't want to hang out with him. So why is he around? Baalke's got a weird case. Why is he around, Shad Khan?
It's not that weird. The weird case is that he sucks.
Yeah, I know. That's true.
a different one than...
It's a very different one, to be clear. Very different one, to be clear. Okay. We'll get to a guy who spent some time in the NFL for only a couple years and got the hell out. We'll hear from Nick Saban when we come back. He was on the pivot with Ryan Clark and Channing Crowder, and he talked about knowing yourself and sometimes making a bad decision and having to correct it. So we'll hear from him when we come back. But first, Sean's going to talk about Prize Picks.
Yes, Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app. And there's, unfortunately, no Jags years of Trent Baalke, more or lesses, but they do have some squares out there for the NFC and AFC championships, including Jayden Daniels being this week's 99% discount on Prize Picks. If he throws for more than half a yard, you can be on your way to winning some money. This one hit for Will Howard on Monday, and I think Jayden Daniels has 1 yard in him this weekend. And you know, you can throw that in to your lineup of, hey, do I think that Jalen Hurts will rush for more than 31 yards? Do I think Saquon Barkley will rush for a touchdown? If you think those things can happen, you're on your way to making money. They have deals every day. They have different discounted projections. They have boosts on your multipliers. Anything you want, whether it's football, whether it's basketball, NBA, college, they have esports. I even saw that they just put up the season-long MLB projections. So maybe you want to go in there and you think Jordan Alvarez is going to have a big year. Maybe you think Hunter Brown is going to have a big year. You can make some money starting now on Prize Picks. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. You don't even need to win to make that money. It's already guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
So while it feels like we are pretty much done with the winter storms as far as affecting people going to work, at least by tomorrow, it feels like we'll be back to normal. The Rockets should be playing tonight. Don't believe weather will be affecting that game. Big game for them against the Cavs tonight, just as a test. I mean, what does it matter as far as the regular season is concerned? You want to stay ahead of Memphis, sure, but you want to see yourself against one of the best teams of basketball. Last time a team came in here from the East who was good, the Celtics mopped the floor with you. So you want to see a different type of response, particularly after losing at home to the Pistons. There's weather in New Orleans, and that game is canceled. They're canceling the Bucks and the Pelicans because they're dealing with the winter storm as well.
Soft.
Well, I mean, they're in the midst of it, and we're on the end of it.
Houston, we just do things different.
The roads are icy.
We just do things different.
That's the report. The roads are out icy. It's not safe. So
not
that,
stopping us.
That game will be canceled.
Stopping the Rockets.
We'll see. Vernon Maxwell did, or at least the person handling Vernon Maxwell's account, did tweet something like that. Like, you don't see any games being canceled here.
Mm-mm.
We're just built different.
Mm-mm. Get him, Mad Max.
You're very upset that Chipotle and Mod Pizza was closed yesterday afternoon. Had to go get Sean I think you guys talked about it. You got yourself a Central Market sandwich. Because all the other places were closed until last night.
Spicy Club? Not that spicy.
Mm.
I would say not even a little spicy.
Yeah, I looked at everyone knows if you go to Central Market, you can build a sandwich or they have their sandwiches that they'll make. Hey, I want a Spicy Club. You want it all the way? I'm like, sure. And then they built the sandwich exactly how it says up on the board. I didn't see anything that would be overly spicy.
Neither did I. I was like, maybe there's something.
Maybe I should have said, hey, get them some fresh jalapenos. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
spice it up.
But no spice on that Spicy Club.
No. But it was good. I mean, no complaints.
Except for... The club was great. I just didn't find any spice in it.
The second bite, I was like, did I get the right sandwich?
did somehow Del screw this up?
Yeah. I was like, did Del not get like...
No, it says on the label,
yeah,
Spicy Club, right?
Yeah.
When you
no,
make
it.
No,
it did.
Yeah.
It did. I just...
It is what it is.
I was hungry enough that I
didn't that the lack of spice didn't bother you. Call me back. Hey, go back over there.
Yeah, what the hell?
This the lack of truth in the advertising is disturbing. Okay, let's get to the Saban thing. Saban was with Ryan Clark and Channing Crowder of The Pivot. And they're going back now, at this point, about 18 years or so, talking about Nick Saban's decision to leave LSU. And it's his biggest regret when it comes to sports, the decision to say goodbye to LSU and go to the NFL. Here's Nick Saban.
So it would seem that you made all the right decisions. Are there any things that you look back on, Coach, and said you wish you had done differently throughout your career?
You ain't gonna like it when I say this, but I think sometimes you have to learn about yourself. Mm-hmm. And you might think things. When I left LSU, that was probably professionally the biggest mistake that I ever made. Not because we didn't have success in Miami, because I enjoyed coaching in Miami, but I found out in that experience that I like coaching in college better because you could develop players personally, academically, athletically, and all that a little more than in pro ball. Even though I love the status of coaching in pro football and the kind of guys you coached and you're coaching in the best league against the best players, I loved all that. So then I can't go back to LSU, go to Alabama, and no disrespect to Alabama. It's not Alabama versus LSU. It's just Jimmy Sexton stood on the balcony when I was getting ready to leave LSU and make a decision about whether I went to Miami or stayed at LSU. And he said, what do you want your legacy to be as a coach? Do you want to be Vince Lombardi or do you want to be Bear Bryant? And without hesitation, I said, Bear Bryant. And he said, what are you doing going to Miami then? Mm. That's true. I don't know if I ever told that story, but that's the truth. We outside of Skip Bertman's office on the balcony. And I went anyway. Hold up.
That's how they close out their segments.
Very abruptly.
Too. Yeah.
Not
even a lead in for Sean. While I believe that, if he had chosen Drew Brees over Dante Culpepper, would he feel the same way? Like, he chose to go to the NFL because he mentioned it, wanted to coach against the best. He had an NFL background. He was the DC in Cleveland.
Yeah.
So he was an NFL guy who spent time at Michigan State and LSU. I think if he chooses Drew Brees instead of Dante Culpepper, it's not the biggest regret of his career.
How successful do you think he would be with Drew Brees?
I think he at least makes the playoffs.
He's like a perennial playoff.
Because he had the option to take Drew Brees in his second season there. He didn't, and then he went back to college. I think considering what he was and still is, at least in between his retirement and when he left Miami, as a defensive guy, his experience in the NFL, if he gets the right quarterback, I think he has a shot to maybe not go on a dynasty-type run because, you know, he would have to deal with Tom Brady.
I was going
to
say, because he would still be in the same division as Tom Brady.
But possibly.
This is when Pittsburgh was still doing their thing with Roethlisberger.
And Peyton Manning's still around.
Yeah, Peyton's still around. Ravens are still around. Like, the AFC in the 2000s was very tough.
I don't think.
Still is, but it was tough then, too.
I think with Drew Brees, it gives him an opportunity to compete.
And maybe he just sticks around.
And yeah, and maybe he.
That's probably the real
maybe
answer.
Maybe he sees a future with, and he sees a franchise quarterback as opposed to, oh, I still haven't found one. I missed on Culpepper. What am I going to do? And Alabama's calling, and I know I can win on that level. I think if he has the right quarterback, I don't know if he stays for a decade, but maybe he gives it a longer run.
Yeah. And like, he probably doesn't ever. Maybe, oh, he wins the division 08, probably.
If he's still there.
Didn't the. Dolphins
they won the division in 08. Anyway,
Tony Sperano
in his first year. It was the year after Saban left, I believe. They hired Sperano, and Tom Brady got hurt. Chad Pennington comes over. I think if it plays out that way, I don't know how him staying affects Bernard Pollard running into Tom Brady's knee.
That's where like all this
the sliding
like,
doors, the butterfly effect
butterfly
type stuff.
Effect where
I don't
like,
know how
do
that would affect
sign
it.
Bernard Pollard and he yeah. does he isn't there.
Yeah, who knows
that day?
Yeah. Who knows if Bernard Pollard's a chief and he ruins Tom Brady's knee? But in that scenario where he can be there with Drew Brees and after the 07 season, whatever, however that goes, I got my guy. They win the division the next year because Tom Brady's hurt. Who knows what he decides to do?
And at the very least, like. You know, say it doesn't work out in Miami, like long term with Breeze, just for the sake of whatever, he just can get another job in the NFL. Like he would then just the next time, you know, the Panthers have an opening, he would replace John Fox or whatever.
And really, we talk about it from Saban's point of view. The whole point really is if he takes Drew Brees instead of Dante Culpepper, we don't have to deal with Alabama for the last 15 years, which is better for all of us, I think.
Yeah.
Not for the SEC. It will really hurt their claims of how great they are.
I don't know where my conference would be without Alabama.
Maybe you're still in the Big 12.
Got us through the dark times.
05, 06, he's a Dolphin. He leaves in 07. So he would have had a year of Drew Brees before the Tom Brady injury. Who knows what happens. But he could have had Drew Brees in 06. So I think it's more about where college football would be. Forget about where Nick Saban would be. Where would college football be if he kept that job? If he chose Drew Brees and kept that job? Is the SEC? Because Josh Pate has pointed it out, who joined us for the final time this year with John and Lance. He has pointed out, if not for Nick Saban, sure, you have LSU popped up there for 19. Of course, they won in 07.
God, imagine if he never left LSU. That's a different conversation.
That's a whole different conversation.
They won titles with Ogeron and Les Miles.
But if he's not there... If he's had enough success in the NFL where he hangs around, or maybe he just doesn't get back to Alabama, maybe takes a different college job, wherever it might be outside the SEC, where would the conference be? Because, yes, they had a dominant run. Urban Meyer had a couple. And, of course, I mentioned LSU. Auburn played and won a title game in 10. But there were times where Alabama was clearly the best team in the SEC, and the other best team was not an SEC team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like the team they faced in the title game would have beat the runner-up in the SEC.
Yeah.
So you never know. You never know where the SEC as a conference would be, where college football would be if Nick Saban had just decided, I'm going to stick this out on the pro level. Maybe we don't have a four. Maybe we don't have a 12-team playoff. Maybe we don't have super conferences. We might have gotten there at some point. But I don't think I think Nick Saban and his dominance had a lot to do with it. Changed the perspective of how we look at that conference.
I was going to say, it definitely changed like the SEC being the preeminent.
Well, they were. Now whatever. It's Big Ten time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for the 2010s.
Certainly.
Like, it was the SEC. Like, we're, you know, you go through it, and it's like, yeah, the SEC ran off whatever it was, 7, 8 straight. It's like four of those are Alabama. It's like, that's not the SEC every, you know.
Could very well
there's
be.
There's four different teams in the SEC that won, but it was Alabama for the other four times.
Yeah, now it could be where the non-Alabama team in the SEC would have won anyway, but.
Yeah, where like 2011 LSU would have won if it wasn't, Thanos snap Nick Saban to the NFL.
Texas
but,
was great in, what, 08? Texas
08 beat, and 09, but yeah. 09 is the year they lost.
Yeah,
Marcel Darius wouldn't have been there. Would have hurt Colt McCoy. Colt McCoy would have gone to a great pro career.
Yeah, Oklahoma lost to Florida in 08, but Texas in 09 is. I think they would have seen Florida.
They would have played Florida because Florida beat Bama 08. Bama beat Florida.
Yeah, so maybe. I mean, I don't put it past Urban Meyer, but
no, I do.
Okay,
Plum.
Okay, certainly on the NFL level. I think Texas gets one. They're not playing Alabama, so you just never know.
Mac Brown's still the coach at Texas.
I don't know if you want that. I don't know if you want that scenario to play out.
Drake May and Sam Howell are Longhorns.
Well, Sam Howell would have been a Florida State.
I know, and Drake May would have still gone to North Carolina.
Yes. He's he's a legacy. Yeah, that wouldn't have happened. But who knows what Mac Brown would have done if only Nick Saban had simply picked Drew Brees, a Texas kid himself. It all comes together.
It all comes down.
All right, we got a couple more segments here before we wrap it up. If you want to get in, you can 713-780-3776. So the news so far today, well, it happened yesterday. Billy Wagner in the hall. Rockets in on a potential trade for Robert Williams and they got a big game tonight against the Cavs. We'll get to more stuff when we come back. But first, let's talk about MyBookie. MyBookie is the place you go to, particularly on Thursdays. That's a special time for them and should be for you. Risk-free betting. You place a bet, you win, you get paid. If you don't win, you lose nothing. That's what's great about MyBookie. They want to give you opportunities to bet and have fun, from the NFL can't say college football anymore, but to college basketball, to hockey, to the NBA. Maybe you're really big into international soccer. It's all there for you at MyBookie, from Champions League to Premier League to La Liga. Anything you might want, MyBookie provides that for you. And, of course, if you're someone who likes cards, you can play in their casino as well. Use that promo code BET975. And remember, they match up to 50%. They have a 50% match up to $1,000. So you can use that extra cash on the casino, or if you like a bet tonight or through the weekend. It's all there for you at MyBookie to take advantage of. Remember, the website is mybookie.ag. And also, remember this. You can bet on anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie.
Follow ESPN Houston on social media at ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Couple more segments here. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776. Gallant George are up next. Are we still? Oh, you don't know. Are they coming in? Are they going to be doing it from home? Do we have confirmation?
I mean, if Joe probably not, just because longer drive.
He lives in League City.
If he's not here yet,
by now,
probably not here. Paul, always a wild card.
Could walk in at any point. Yeah. So it may be a empty studio. You'll see the palatial estates of Paul. I was going to call him Paul George, of Paul Kalan and Joe George. Now Paul George does probably have a palatial estate somewhere in Philadelphia.
And he's also podcasting at the moment,
yes,
right now, too.
Yes.
Or maybe not at the moment, but
the studio,
spiritually he's podcasting.
Yeah, the studio is always available for Paul George. So we'll see what happens, and then the Killer Bees follow those guys. As I mentioned, Billy Wagner to the Hall. We heard from D'Amico Ryans earlier talking about he is not satisfied. Well, what's his quarterback satisfied with? It was a busy podcasting offseason for C.J. Stroud last year. Are we going to see a lot of C.J. Stroud in public? I would assume not. I don't think there's going to be a pop-out with him in an Amber Rose-like character this offseason. I'm not saying the man won't have his fun. He's a 20-something-year-old young man who's a starting quarterback in the NFL. I just don't know how public any of his appearances will be. You just got to manage things. Last year,
No world tour with Micah Parsons. Yeah. I'd say this year,
the Micah Parsons thing is done. We can't do that again this year.
Maybe I'll let him hop on the pod.
Yeah, but you can't be traveling to teach football to everyone with Micah Parsons.
Can't be going overseas. Can't be on like 20-hour plane rides to go to Japan and China.
I'm not suggesting that had anything to do with how he played this year. I will blame the offensive line and Strasser, the O-line coach. And you want to throw some at Slowick? Fine. I just know how people respond to things like this. Yeah. He knows too.
That's the thing with C.J. Stroud, is that he doesn't seem he seems self-aware enough.
Yes.
Maybe it's just because Pat McAfee right now, at the moment, is talking to Russell Wilson, and that's why the self-awareness as a quarterback I view as very important, just to the PR part and the locker room part of being a quarterback. But I think that's something that C.J. Stroud has miles more than Russell Wilson when it comes to that. And I do think that he knows the game, and he knows that, like, hey, I can't be on the Kevin Hart one, can't be doing Michael Parsons, can't be doing what was the one with Tank Dell where he kind of answered Tank Dell's questions for him? Now, like, he can't be doing all of these.
Now, my question for you is, will he be as hot of a commodity? Will people be calling to get him on as much as they would?
Jane Daniels getting those calls now?
Well, we know he has taken over from C.J. Stroud as producing the best rookie season of all time.
Yeah.
That's been the talk this week.
He's the Buzz Lightyear to the Woody that is C.J. Stroud, where we don't want to play with you anymore. This one has lasers. This one can run.
And he talks.
And he talks just as much as you do.
Yeah. Yeah. And he is in the NFC title game where you topped out at a division round game where you didn't even score a touchdown. Terrible. So we'll see if Jaden Daniels is the next guy or he learns whatever lesson may be taken from C.J. Stroud's offseason and goes, nah, not me.
Caleb Williams also is going to be that guy. Caleb Williams is going to be on the podcast or two.
He will be, but he didn't play well enough to garner that type of attention.
He'll say yes more.
What Caleb Williams should do is, nah, sorry, guys, I got to work with Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson maybe has just finished up his press conference, being introduced as the new Bears coach, and he said, I don't know what it's in reference to, but the quote right now going around is, I did like beating Matt LaFleur twice a season. Maybe they asked him why Chicago.
I don't know.
We should play it when we close out the show just to figure out how that came about. But that's the quote. I did like beating Matt LaFleur twice a year. But let's get to C.J. Stroud. What's next for him this offseason? What does he have to do? Where's his mindset? Here's C.J. Stroud about this offseason and his future.
Are individual, and some of them are as a collective. And for me, you know, it's my job to be honest and my job to be transparent. And that's what I feel like I'll do, you know, throughout this time and, you know, with free agency and draft and everything. If my opinion is asked, I'm going to give it, like it or not. So, yeah, and I think I would like that same type of honesty back to myself because, you know, with that comes clarity and it comes just clear communication and transparency. So, it'll be over time, but I definitely think today was a start of that. And, you know, we'll continue to have conversations and, you know, and it's a healthy thing. It's not a bad thing. You know, it's really healthy to have those type of conversations. And even if they turn into, you know, things where it's confrontation or whatever, you know, that's necessary. We're all men in here mostly. And, you figure it out and, you know, and we all got love for another. You spend years with guys or you spend a whole year with somebody, you'll learn to like them and learn to have things to like about them. So, yeah.
So a lot of talking, just not on podcasts. He'll be talking to his teammates. Now, Sean, you made a face when you said we're all men in here mostly. There was a bit of a debate this morning about whether he was being deferential to women who are part of the organization or maybe even women who are part in that building when he said we're all men in here. Was he talking about women who are in that room as media members, women who are part of the organization, or was he actually suggesting that some of his teammates aren't real men?
That was least likely.
Yeah, I feel like that's least likely.
I think what he was saying is that is the women in the organization. I will say, though, when I first heard that, I did think, wait, there's children for
him. I don't know.
I just thought of he's sitting across the desk from a baby. Is what I thought.
He made eye contact,
and it's an uncomfortable conversation. But they can get past it because they're men. Actually, no, this is the one they can't get past
because the baby's not a man.
It's not a man.
The baby, oddly enough, is going to act like a baby when they have that tough conversation. So there's C.J. Stroud. It's a funny thing because our minds will wander, but it's probably very simple about what he's talking about. But it would be funny if he goes, there's a bunch of some punks in here too, but most of us are men. we'll see how it plays out. But if that's a quarterback who will take ownership of his team. At least those are the words he's given us, and he will speak to people and have those conversations. And the thought from some is that one of the big problems as far as maturity and understanding what it takes is the offensive line. The members of that offensive line aren't serious people. Is he going to have stern conversations with some of them? I think people would welcome it. Inside the building, they'd welcome CJ holding some people to account for what was produced and how they're acting. We have a whole offseason to start to hear things coming out of the building about how CJ Stroud has taken ownership of the team. So we'll see where that goes. But just an interesting take from the quarterback that he's going to talk to his teammates about what needs to get done to get better, which will be a welcome, we won't see it, but a welcome change And it's understandable. He'll be going into year three. He will continue to be more and more of a leader of that team, and that's what that organization needs. Okay, we got one more segment to go. We'll hear from Ben Johnson when we come back, the new coach of the Bears. He said something about wanting to beat Matt LaFleur. We'll see the context of that. We'll hear that when we come back. But first, I want to talk about Monument Chevrolet. Monument Chevrolet is the place you go to if you want a new car, a pre-owned car, or something for your fleet. If you're a business owner and looking to add to your fleet, or you're just starting a business and need something to get you started, they have it all for you. Sixth largest fleet dealership in the country. So if you need something for your business, it is there. Trust me. And of course, if you're looking for pre-owned, they have this. They have a warranty, 6 months, 6,000 miles. What it means is, while you may be worried about owning a car that someone else owned, you shouldn't. Not only will the people at Monument Chevrolet walk you through the process of telling you, well, pretty much how great the car is, but they'll also give you that little peace of mind that if something happens to go wrong, you're going to be covered. No worries. And if you need something new, you can go to monumentchevrolet.com and check out that entire inventory and take advantage of this. They are done with their 50-year anniversary celebration, but they're not done with the savings. They put that in last year, savings across the inventory, and they're extending it until January 31st. So you still have a couple of days, a little over a week, to take advantage of all the savings they're giving you at Monument Chevrolet. So once you check it out on the website, you can go to the dealership off of 225 and Beltway and at Beltway 8 in Pasadena and meet the people, understand how great they are and why they want you to become a part of the Monument Chevrolet family. MonumentChevrolet.com is the website. Just remember this, Chevrolet, together let's drive.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really? Okay.
I imagine this following sound bite won't be used against Ben Johnson at all the first time the Packers beat the Bears, but he almost approached it like he's a college coach and you're riling up the fan base. And I think it hit home. We'll find out. Joe George is a Bears fan. I'm sure he loved what Ben Johnson had to say. He's spent his entire life getting his head bashed in by the Packers. Well, Ben Johnson wants to change it, and he's had some success doing it as the Lions OC. Here's Ben Johnson as part of his presser today talking about beating up on the Packers.
I know this is the toughest division of football right now. There's three teams that made the playoffs this year. I've got tremendous amount of respect for the coaches and the players in this league, having competed against them for the last 6 years. Dan Campbell, Kevin O'Connell, you're talking about two guys that are up for Coach of the Year awards as the season ends here. And to be quite frank with you, I kind of enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year.
You got to deliver that line with a little bit more punch.
Yeah.
I needed more of a rise in emotion as he got to it. I don't like the delivery so much.
Salute to Chicago media not falling out of their seats laughing.
Yeah, it was a slight chuckle.
Yeah, but normally the media, you know.
Yeah, but
it's like
his tone.
Comedy
tour. They're knee slapping. Ben, but his tone and approach led to that tepid response.
I think so.
I needed a little bit more build up to get there, and everyone's like, what's Ben gonna say?
Is it too soon to say? No, I don't think it's too soon. The introductory press conference, it's not too soon to write the book on him as a head coach. Great play caller. I don't know if he's a leader of men.
Yeah, low energy.
I don't know if he can be the one giving speeches in the middle of the locker room. I don't know.
He had to get a leadership packet. Maybe he should have convinced the Bears with motivational. Yeah. A motivational speaker. I don't know, but because what he did there was, it was a fine line out of context. Actually hearing it, whatever, Ben Johnson.
Yeah, he's not getting, you know, cousin from the Bears and getting fired up over
no,
this.
No, we got Dan Campbell biting kneecaps. People made fun of that, and now look at him.
This is the dilution of that.
Yeah.
This is the coaching tree that splintered off.
I'm going to call him low energy Ben from now on.
Oh,
until I see otherwise. I know he walked through the facility and people kind of liked that, but what I saw in front of the media, that's low energy bit.
Just some nerd drawing a place.
Nerd drawing a place. At least Mike McDaniel has cool glasses. He's a nerd drawing a place too. But at least he's got cool glasses.
At least he has, yeah, he has drip.
Yeah.
Swaggerless. Ben Johnson.
I think that's worse than low energy Ben. We will see. Great break. Play caller. Hopefully he turns the Bears around for Joe George's sake. We're done. Joe George is next, along with Paul Gallant, followed by the Killer Bee. Since we're done, what does that mean, Sean?
We did it!
We did. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.